This week on Potlatch, a report on muskox hunting on Nunavak Island. Paul John of Tuksuk Bay comments on the changing Eskimo culture. Skeeter Malloy talks with Representative Brenda Itta. And Senator Ted Stevens reports from Washington, D.C. Here's a report from the Department of Fish and Game from Dave Johnson.
Muskox hunting is a fairly rare sport, and for the thousands it costs, it looks as if it will probably stay that way. Nevertheless, for the 50 people who have participated in these first two hunts, it was quite an experience. Nunavak Island is situated off the southwest coast of Alaska, several hundred miles west of Anchorage. There's not a single tree to speak of on the whole island, but the fantastic cliffs and volcanic craters, bird rookeries, and the weather make more than make up for that lack. All of the permanent residents of the island live in Mikoriuk, which is on the northwest side of the island. The people are Eskimo and speak an unusual dialect of Yupik, although most speak English to some extent. For the past half year now, the Eskimos have been host to hunters from all over the world during the fall and spring muskox hunting season. Many of the hunters have been Alaskans, but some have also been from the lower 48 in search of an additional trophy to complete their collections of North American big game. One of the hunters was even the Prince of Iran, but most were just regular guys and gals like you and I. Several were from Fairbanks. I got a chance to talk to the last hunter for this spring's hunt, since I was out there during the time he was hunting. Bill Bond is from Vernon, Texas, and on his hunt, his Eskimo guides and he traveled some 110 miles.
We used snow machines, had four snow machines, and they pulled me behind one of the snow machines and a sled, an old dog sled or toboggan. About as rough a ride as I believe I ever had in my life. Quite a few drifts and other places there, the snow had blown completely off of the ground and the bare ground was showing through, and several places where there were rocks were exposed.
Bill took his muskox at a place called Cape Mohican, which is the westernmost extremity of the island. It's a short, rocky peninsula that juts about 2 miles into the Bering Sea, and like all the surrounding land, it ends abruptly in 100-foot cliffs. There was a bit of excitement after he shot at the muskox because it looked as if it was about to roll off the cliff. Nevertheless, we all got back to Mikoriuk just as it was getting dark, muskox in hand. What would you say was the high point of your trip, Bill?
Well, outside of getting out of that sled, I'd say shooting the muskox was probably the high point. I got quite a thrill out of the first muskox I saw. I'd seen pictures of animals, and they really were a little different from what I'd anticipated, but to me that was quite a thrill, seeing that first one, and then, of course, shooting mine was a great thrill, too.
We saw at least 150 muskox while we were on the trail, and at least that many reindeer, the reindeers which the villagers herd for meat. I think nearly all of the hunters enjoyed their experience at Nunavak, not only for the sake of the hunt itself, but for a chance to see some interesting country and to meet some unusual people who make their living partly from the island and the surrounding Bering Sea.
Music from Gamble on St. Lawrence Island. In mid-March at the Festival of Native Arts in Fairbanks, Paul John recalled the days when schools first came to his village, and his son Mark translated his remarks into English.
He said was that he's not educated and he's not able to speak English very fluently. And it was only after that he got married and started living his own life that schools came to the area, which is Nelson Island, that he lives in. And it was, Nelson Island was one of the last areas that got schools the latest. And since he's not able to read or write, and not able to speak the language, he doesn't know very much about the white culture.
Martin Slam School Lang Orainamta Junakh put Tangshat Nayok putamatum Sunasini Council Chairman Narulla Junakh put Tangshat Nayok put School Langakhilak putamirinamta School as Hatimut and Talat Nayok Katasinilra Taukuninunam Ninait Muta Commune.
And when schools finally got to the area, it looked like as if the students that will be going there were going to have to cut school now and then because of the way the people were trying to subsist at that time.
We'll hear Paul John and his son Mark John again. Speaking of John, here's a song from Mr. Fahey.
Unitak
The people that live in Tuksuk now used to live at Nightmute. And then every spring they used to move down to Umkumute, which is a summer camp, a spring and summer camp, where they went seal hunting, herring fishing, salmon fishing, berry picking, and all those summer activities that go on. And since it was creating a lot of problems for the school children, the majority of the community moved to Tuksuk, where the community didn't have to move back and forth every year for subsistence purposes. And, you know, when they moved to Tuksuk, they were able to stay with the community, stay with the churches, the armory, the schools, and all those things that the community usually has.
Tawasua, tamani mo wang nakatasm ni tamaksalisut magpit huluta. Kasanun si kayo tstah pagkinata upang nakshuluta. Tamak tas imkunik pinilrani no nakoh tut pinata kasanun si kayo.
Moving of the community was a community effort. At that time, there was no machinery to make moving easier. Everything had to be done by manpower. There were no tractors, and the only machinery that was used was the kicker.
Kek pailan tamani mu wakatasmutni. 1964. Timuktuna kwatin upanganaksak putpitiksuku wanikwa ayuk kapik nrilingaku kwatin ukutrama putum kagalikshaput kingwakunjali aipa tramam takagalan manitikaka. Tamani naattaatikka uppaatakamthu taimma siksaat nunnit ninnannak uppaatillauk tikammaalluk ikkuatnapaattuumai taqimuktit kun yuinaanik pingaayun qimuktiraqluk naattaatik.
And on the drum there's a piece, one of the people drew a house with dogs, and that's how the houses were moved in spring of 1964. They started, you know, moving them when it was warm. So they used to have a big sled with 60, usually 60 dogs to a house. And that spring, uh, 15 houses were moved that spring. You know, every day they go back for another one.
Tom Tasua, Kiagan, Patanik Pikai Lamta, Kwangkutnik Nitpuktasu Tingnaksuki, Tainkasaganigim Mailing Kuyukluta. Manna ingiloa puhtautirilukua kiimmeeram. Ingiloa manna. Takkun ingiloa manna muraagak nukuna nanishuuraan kulappingaayunik. Puhtautirilukua ingiloa puhtauta ikkishuurangaramunga. Nennik tummaumattuumaita nuhtaktsiungaluuting taukku taingkasat. MD Drum. Tuossuu. Kwatin kwanikwa. Ayyautakamthu siqqiyaratku nigillerutaqsukki nit.
After the summer activities were over, such as fishing and the other things, they started building a raft with 55-gallon drums as floaters. They used 15 drums on one side and 13 on the other, since they weren't able to find woods big enough to match those two. And what they used to do was they'd put their houses on top of the rafts, and that they'd tow them to Tuksuk with skiffs. When they were putting the houses on top, on the rafts, they used to use manpower to put them on and take them off. So there used to be a lot of people, they used to gather a lot of men and then just push those houses until they could get them into a position where they were safe to take away.
Well, I hope your pride is satisfied now that you've gone and made me cry. You turn a Hollywood trick on a Tennessee hick and then you hung him out to dry. Yeah, you wrinkle my sheets and you use my phone. You ate up the meat and then you threw me the bone. And when you drained me dry, baby, you were long gone and you never even said goodbye. Put another notch in your belt, another gold star in your crown. A cupid dog goes to the California Cupid for shooting down the country clown. Put another notch in your belt and a medal on your BBDs. Enjoy it now, for someday, somehow, you're gonna pay for what you've done to me. That's right, honey. Oh, the Hollywood honey done took all my money and made me out a fool. Messed up my bed, messed up my head, sent a country boy to school. Now you chewed me up and spit me out. You taught me what city life's all about. But baby, that's one lesson I can live without, cause I believe in the golden rule. Put another notch in your belt, another gold star in your crown. The dog goes to the California Cupid for shooting down the country clown. Put another notch in your belt, pin a medal on your BBDs. Enjoy it now, but someday, somehow, you're gonna pay for what you've done to me. Put another notch in your belt, another gold star in your crown. Cupid dog goes to the California Cupid for shooting down the country clown. Put another notch in your belt, pin a medal on your BBD. Enjoy it now, for someday, somehow, you're gonna pay for what you've done to me. Enjoy it now, for someday, somehow, you're gonna pay for what you've done to me.
The Mac Davis. Now the legislators portion of this week's Potlatch. First, an interview courtesy of radio station KOTZ in Kotzebue and Skeeter Malloy.
Right now I'm talking to Brenda Ikda. How are you doing, Brenda?
Real good. I've been really enjoying my visit here in Kotzebue. Nakupalukt inyipakatitka kanilakapkimani.
Uh-huh. And where are you off to right now?
Right now, I'm on my way to Juneau, the capital. I just came in from Barrow yesterday. I attended a meeting where we met with Canadian and Greenlandic Eskimos. And I'm going down to Juneau this afternoon. And I would love to stay here for the feast and go to the Eskimo dances and see everybody with their nice, welcome, warm smiles. I'd really like to be here, but I did make a commitment with our chairman, Hugh Malone, of Finance Committee, that I would be back by Tuesday afternoon and Tuesday night. He's holding over certain parts of the budget that are very important to Kotzebue and to Barrow areas. And he did promise to hold any items that relate to my district until I return. So I do have to go back Tuesday. Yeah. I really hate to go back so soon.
I know. Listen, is there what's on the agenda for this area that, you know, the bills that you are involved in right now?
Oh, right before I came here, we passed out of the House Finance Committee a bill that Senator Frank Ferguson introduced on the Senate side, calling for a $60 million general obligation bonds for school construction of elementary and high schools for the whole state of Alaska. I believe in there is contained over $5 million for the Kotzebue area and about $3 million for the Barrow area. And I've been working on various airport projects for our district. Let's see.
I talked to you last week, I think it was about the, for the Pioneers Home. How
yes.
Is that?
That's in the budget on the House side, and it's on the Senate side also. I don't see that there'll be problems. It'll go to free conference committee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's a good, pretty good chance of that one bill passing.
Yes. Yes, that's right.
And, I know you're pressed for time and that you're really, you know, Brenda, thank you for coming.
Yeah, hey. It's really good to see everybody.
I know. When are you going to be back again?
I'll be back this summer, and I'll be out to the villages, so I hope to spend more time with all of you.
Oh, hey, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, too.
Seeger. In the past few years, educational and public radio has come to the Bethel, Kotzebue, Dillingham, and Barrow areas. Other Alaska areas needing radio stations have to compete with other areas of the country for funding at a time when the president is trying to cut federal spending. Alaska Senator Ted Stevens testified during hearings on the Educational Broadcasting Facilities Act. The Senate Subcommittee on Communications heard his comments.
Now, in Alaska, we have situations where there are communities which have no broadcasting facilities at all. We don't think that our Alaskan applicants should compete with applicants from areas where they have not only major media stations, but also public broadcasting facilities. The priority should be given to areas that have no broadcasting facilities at all. Of course, I'm hopeful that the day will come when the major media markets will spread throughout Alaska, but in the meantime, the public broadcasting funds ought to be used for areas that have no broadcasting at all. Another interest is the announced plan of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting to shift over to the satellite use for their national TV programming. This has great potential for Alaska, but we want to make certain that the officials of the public broadcasting area take into account the fact that special arrangements must be made for Alaska to use this operation due to time difference and other situations in Alaska to make the public broadcasting facilities work. Also, since Alaska primarily has public radio facilities, we want to know if they plan to provide radio programming with the use of the satellite also.
Senator Ted Stevens co-sponsored a bill to protect the Iditarod Trail.
The bill really has two purposes. It establishes first, for the first time, a national historical trail system. We do have recreation and scenic trails, but many of the trails important to our nation's history, such as the Oregon Trail and the Santa Fe Trail, have not been protected. They do not fit into the criteria for scenic and recreation trails, and so they're not recognized. This bill would establish the new National Historical Trail System, and I think could recognize and protect the historic values in these trails. Secondly, and most importantly to Alaskans, this bill would designate the Iditarod Trail as the first historic trail. The Iditarod Trail the bill would protect incorporates a number of trails used by gold seekers at various times in our history. The basic route begins in Seward and follows some recreation trails on the Kenai Peninsula and through the Chugach Mountains behind Anchorage across the Susitna Valley, across the interior to Unalakleet, and then across the Norton Sound to Nome. A large part of the trail, of course, is used by the dog racers each winter. This trail was used by people in the last great American gold rush to Iditarod in the early 1900s, and we think that it needs protection. If the bill is enacted, the Department of Interior would have the responsibility for managing the National Historic Trail System.
A Kodiak resident has been named to the National Transportation Safety Board, right, Senator Stevens?
Well, that is correct. Phil Hoag was the former commander of the Kodiak Coast Guard Station. He has recently been confirmed by the Senate and will take his place as a member of the National Transportation Safety Board. When Phil was in Alaska, he got a commendation from the city of Kodiak and also was the only member of the Coast Guard to get such a commendation from the Alaska Federation of Natives. I suggested Phil Hoag's name because I think it's important that this agency, which has the responsibility for assuring that safety standards are maintained and upgraded in all forms of transportation, should have someone on it that's familiar with Alaska's particular transportation safety problems. As a member of the Commerce Committee, I introduced Phil Hoag. I also chaired the committee at the time his confirmation was reviewed by the Senate Commerce Committee. And I'm very hopeful that with Phil Hoag on the National Transportation Safety Board, Alaska's interest in safety problems related to transportation will be adequately reviewed.
The Department of Health, Education, and Welfare has approved 20 new community health aid jobs for Alaska.
Yes, these new positions are the result of an appropriation add-on that I added to the 1976 fiscal year Indian Health Service appropriation. The Department of Health, Education, and Welfare has informed me that a special committee is being formed to review the request presented by the health corporations for these aides. This committee will have one representative from the AFN, one from the Alaska Native Health Board, one from the Alaska State Public Health Nursing Association, another from the Alaska Community Health Aid and Community Practitioner Association, and a health corporation not involved in the request. The committee is planning to meet in Anchorage during the week of May 10th to review the request for the additional health aides from the health corporations. And the communities which are selected will pick an individual health aide and notify the area offices their selection. I think these newly appointed community health aides will begin their work or training really in July, and I do believe that this program has been of substantial benefit to the people of our rural areas.
Alaska Senator Ted Stevens. This is Jeff Kennedy, and thanks for listening to Potlatch. Potlatch is produced by KUAC under Title I of the Higher Education Act. Oh!